I want to read another passage of Scripture just before we start in this morning. And I want to read from Psalm 137. I think quite a unique piece of Scripture. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked for songs, our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to the foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. We kind of expect something else to come after that, but it doesn't. Of all the times when a church could be going through a vacancy, I'm sorry to tell you that we're going through a vacancy at a time of uncertainty such as the Presbyterian Church in Ireland has never faced before. Our church is embarking on what some people might say is the most dramatic restructuring process that has ever been carried out. Some people might argue the church has never restructured in its life before. But do you know, there's just a reality of life that we need to simply learn how to live through uncertain times and times of change. It's just part of what it is to be human. Life is filled with upheaval and difficulties. Just last week, we buried two members of our congregation, Harry Diamond and Reggie Quigley. Others from among our congregation have been dealing with cancer diagnosis. They've been undergoing various treatments. We've just sent our youngsters out. The P7s have just finished the second of their transfer tests. And all of the uncertainty for their future that brings. Life is filled with uncertainty and change. And some of that is difficult. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they had to learn how to deal with the life when unexpected change came to their door. Just imagine for a minute a foreign army laying siege to your home country. You watch the news as reports come in, borders being breached, and then as the days go by, more reports of the enemy making more inroads, until one day there's a knock at your door. And so you're dragged from your home. And you turn around and you see somebody else moving in. And then dragged as you kick and scream, you're transported. First to a ghetto, then to another country, a different language, a different culture, a different religion. You've no freedoms. That was the unexpected turn that life took for Daniel and his friends. And you know, maybe up until recently we would have heard that and we would have gone back. Maybe we'd have gone back to World War II and to Corrie ten Boom. But I wonder what life is like in Ukraine for those living under Russian occupation. What's life like in Israel and Gaza at the minute? Or for those who have lived under the tyranny of ISIS? This is real. But Daniel was no ordinary Jew. He was connected to the royal family. He was destined to serve in government as a high-ranking official, maybe a civil servant. And when he was deported to Babylon, he may well have been in a position of influence, but that probably came at quite a high price for him, especially when he got to Babylon. Daniel and his friends were under the authority of the chief eunuch, which means it's highly likely that they were forced to become eunuchs. Deportation, mutilation, demotion. And still they endured more. Because it wasn't just that Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians, but the temple fell. Nebuchadnezzar took its treasures, placed them in the temples of the Babylonian gods, and usually whenever a land was conquered, the idols, the things that the people worshipped in that country, normally they were carted off as well. It was a symbol that the defeat was total, the land was conquered, the people were conquered, and the gods were conquered. But there were no idols in Jerusalem, and so the treasures were taken. And Nebuchadnezzar was saying, Yahweh, the God of Israel, is defeated. Daniel and his friends could have legitimately cried out, Lord, where are you? What's happening? We thought you were supposed to protect us. You were supposed to stop this from happening. And when we read Psalm 137, a psalm sung by those who were in exile in Babylon with Daniel, it gives us some insight into how they felt. Maybe it gives some insight into how we feel today, faced with a vacancy. Now, I doubt very much that you want to dash babies against the rocks. At least I hope you don't want to dash babies against the rocks. But maybe you want to dash presbytery. Or maybe the Linkage Commission would be a good target, you know, because let's face it, nobody likes them. You may well be singing, look, how can we be happy at a time like this? And if anybody from the Linkage Commission is working online, I didn't really mean that. We love you, really. Crawl that back. Even Jesus, even in his life, he faced a life where he had to deal with, if not the unexpected, certainly the unwanted. Who can forget his cry from Gethsemane, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Life is just filled with the unexpected and the unwanted. But how does this help? How does knowing that Daniel and Jesus both faced all sorts of different circumstances, how does that help us today? How does that help us if we're facing a vacancy? Or actually, if we're facing something quite serious, illness or bereavement or something else? First, notice who is in control. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 2, we read, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. We may think that life has taken an unexpected turn, but the reality that each of us have to grasp hold of is actually God doesn't do the unexpected. Now, this isn't the church trying to justify some of the changes that may or may not come our way. Neither is it, you know, a way of sticking your head in the sand and just pretending and hoping that everything will go away. This is something that's consistent with what the church has been teaching throughout the generations, because we believe in a sovereign God who holds the whole of space and time in his hands, a God who takes life's events, no matter how unexpected those events might be, and he uses them for his purposes. the exile and everything that Daniel faced in Babylon, along with his fellow countrymen, brought a rebellious nation to repentance, and it renewed their faith in God. The exile highlighted the lies of false prophets and priests and removed them from a position of influence over God's people. Daniel had the opportunity to influence four kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. God's light shone in one of the most evil empires that ever existed. Vacancy's not nice. It's filled with uncertainty. But it's also filled with potential. New opportunities. It's a chance to take a step back and evaluate where we've come from and where we might be going. It's a time for us to think about our future mission plans. It's an opportunity for so many of you who have been growing in your faith to actually stretch your wings and take on new responsibilities, new challenges, new ministries, all of which is given by God. The unexpected can be filled with potential. The second thing to notice is that God is not defeated. When Nebuchadnezzar carried off the temple treasures, he was making a statement that God was defeated. I have defeated you. I have taken control of the temple. I have taken your treasures and they are mine. I am greater than you. But he should have learned from Israel's history. God is never defeated. And in 1 Samuel chapter 5, we read the story of where the Philistines had defeated Israel, and they carried the Ark of the Covenant away, and they put it in the temple of Dagon, and they celebrated and they rejoiced. They had defeated Israel. They had defeated Yahweh. They came back the next morning, and the statue was lying on its face before the Ark. And so they propped it back up, and they went away. They spent another day celebrating. They came back in the next day. The statue had fallen again, but this time its hands and its feet had been cut off. Dagon was powerless before the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar did not defeat God. God used Nebuchadnezzar. The church going into a period of vacancy does not mean that God is defeated. The church going into a period of being restructured and changed does not mean God is defeated. And in so many ways, life has done and will continue to go on as normal. There is still Sunday school. There's still Bible class. BB and GB are still meeting. We enrolled them here a couple of weeks ago. Youth fellowship, the midweek. All of that continues. Ministry and life in this place has continued and will continue. Because vacancy is not a reason to stop believing in a God who changes lives. It's not a reason to stop believing in a God who does prevail, whose purposes are accomplished. When Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours," we know that led to the cross. It led to forgiveness, to transformation, sin being atoned for. The life of the church, our individual Christian lives, they continue. Granted, the context in which they continue changes, just as it did for Daniel, but actually our trust in Christ, our belief in God, our understanding of love for one another, that sense of reaching out into our community, none of that changes. The final thing this morning is that we don't face all of this alone. It's because of people like Daniel and how God walked with him. Because of Jesus and how he refused to turn away from a life if not the unexpected, certainly the unwanted, that we can turn to Christ and know that he understands. We can know that he is with us. Hebrews chapter 4 reminds us. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We don't need to hold on to those feelings of Psalm 137. We can take them to someone who understands. We can unburden and find rest, hope, and strength. Because although the reality won't change, it's through Christ our perspective of that reality changes. It is Christ who helps us to see that actually God is still sovereign. He still rules over his creation, and he is undefeated, even whenever we face the unexpected and the unwanted. Let's take a moment just to pray together. Father, we do thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you, Lord, that you hold all in your hand. And although, Lord, as we meet here Sunday by Sunday, vacancy is very much on our mind. When will we get a minister? What is going to happen? Yet we know for so many, the issues are so much bigger. Those who are bereaved, those who are ill, those who are really struggling with one thing or another, and life is just wearing them down. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that you would make us very much aware of who you are. You are a sovereign God. You hold all things and all people in your hands. You hold us. And you have promised that your purposes will be worked out. And so, Lord, fill us with the confidence just to rest in that this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.